This is the Leonard Lopate Show. I'm Julie Burstein in for Leonard today. When Jenny Brown was working at McDonald's in high school, she didn't give much thought to where the meat for those Happy Meals was coming from. But in college, she began to learn about animal advocacy and about the treatment of animals in factory farms. And since then, she's become a passionate advocate for animals. She's worked on a number of documentary films about factory farming practices and founded the Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary, which takes in animals that are rescued from various farms and slaughterhouses. Ms. Brown gives an account of her road to activism and her current work in her memoir, The Lucky Ones, My Passionate Fight for Farm Animals. It's published by Avery, and I'm pleased that it brings her to the Leonard Lopate Show today. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. And when can you talk about the first beginnings of your realizing that you needed to think about animals differently?
Well, I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and of course, every meal I ate in a Southern Baptist conservative upbringing was included meat, cheese, milk, or eggs. You know, I didn't come from some forward-thinking, liberal, hippie parents or anything. And I had a relationship with a cat that was I was allowed to adopt when I was 10 years old and was undergoing chemotherapy for over 2 years and lost the lower part of my right leg to cancer. I had lots of time to spend with her. I was taught to believe that animals didn't have souls like humans do. And I really, that sort of planted the seed for me. But it wasn't until college that I picked up some literature during freshman orientation week and really took a look at animals used in experimentation, for entertainment, and how we treat the animals we eat. And I became vegetarian on the spot at 18, and that's sort of the genesis of it.
When you had this moment with that information, what did your family think about your making this decision to become a vegetarian and to start fighting for animal rights?
Well, my mother and my sister, which is basically my core family, were very supportive and also changed their diet. But it wasn't until I moved to Chicago and was going to film school there that I got involved with an animal advocacy organization and ended up doing some undercover video work, was flown out to North Dakota and got into a facility that where horses are being kept impregnated and they collect their urine for a drug millions of women take called Premarin. Little do they know it's a pill made from horse pee. It was later on, I worked in film and television for a decade. I didn't work on, like you had said, I didn't work on documentaries about animal rights. I worked on shows like Frontline and Nova, Discovery Channel, met my husband working for the filmmaker Errol Morris.
But you did do some of this undercover filming.
Yeah, the video
as well.
Work, exactly. Mm-hmm. In 2002, I went undercover again, was flown to Texas to document downed animals at stockyards, which are the animals that are non-ambulatory. They're too weak or sick to stand and actually walk on to the trucks headed for slaughter. Not only is it a concern for food safety, the treatment of these animals is barbaric because animals must be alive when they reach the slaughterhouse floor, even if they can't walk. So they're bulldozed and dragged with chains and lots of gory details. But I do talk about these practices and more in animal agriculture that people are largely unaware about in my book, The Lucky Ones. And, you know, it's a memoir with a mission. It's my life story. And also just trying to raise awareness. We're so disconnected as a society from the animals we eat. We never see them. We're out of touch. You know, at Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary, we're just 2 hours north of New York City. We get kids from the city, from Queens and the Bronx and urban kids who have never even seen a pig, a cow, or a chicken up close, much less even think about the animal when they're chomping down on a hamburger or their chicken McNuggets. That's how disconnected we are. And my mission is to change that and to show people that farm animals are just as sentient, as intelligent, with a complex range of emotions, just like our cats and dogs. In fact, pigs are known to be more intelligent than dogs. So,
is one of your aims to try to get everyone to become vegan?
Well, that sounds radical, I realize, and it's very challenging to people. I want people to be better informed consumers. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'd love for the world to go vegan, not just for the animals, because I ultimately believe that if we can live a happy and healthy life without causing harm to others, why wouldn't we? And look, I'm living proof that, you know, you can thrive on a vegan diet. And many people are proving that. Lots of people are becoming aware of what's happening in factory farms and the cruel practices on small farms alike. There's a lot of misleading labels about free range and cage free, labels that are not governed, labels that are completely meaningless, you know? And so they're basically put out there to make the public feel better. I want people to know the truth.
There are a lot of people, though, who may want to become vegan but can't. There are issues, sometimes dietary, sometimes medical, that mean people do need to eat meat.
I disagree with that. There's a lot of studies out there.
Well, I actually have personal experience with that, with people who can't eat grains and people who can't eat cheese, or, well, I guess a vegan diet wouldn't have cheese, but there are people who can't eat much of what's on a vegan diet. Are there options for those people in terms of, do you see that there might be farms out there who do treat animals humanely in the way that they raise them so that people can eat them?
Well, no matter what, humane slaughter is an oxymoron. No matter what, in any dairy industry, they're, in order to be productive and profitable, they're pulling baby calves away from, the morning bellows of the mama cows, in order for people to drink the breast milk of a cow that rightfully belongs to that calf. I believe animals are here with us and not for us. I don't believe in eating animals, period. And I know that's a pretty radical view, but it's my opinion. It's my view. Hey, it's my book, you know. And it's just giving people the option to look at them that way. The fact that we're horrified by, you know, Koreans eating dogs. We should be just as horrified, because there are animals that are more intelligent than dogs. Not that we should base our compassion on intelligence, but we have a pretty schizophrenic relationship when it comes to the divide, the mental divide we create from the animals that we love and call companions, to animals that are just as emotional and intelligent as them, which are the farm animals that people just largely don't want to think about.
So tell us a little bit about your farm. What does it look like? Where and what is a day like on your farm?
Madness. We are 23 acres in the beautiful Catskill Mountains, again in Woodstock, New York, just 2 hours north of New York City. We usually keep around 200 rescued farm animals. That's cows, giant farm pigs, chickens, turkeys, goats, sheep, ducks. We focus on animals that are used for food. These are happy, socialized animals that are not treated as commodities. They respond with affection and are happy and socialized and friendly. This is an opportunity where people can come up on the weekends when we're open from April through October, meet the animals they only know as food, hear their individual stories, look at them as individuals, because they are someones and not some things, and start rethinking our relationship to animals we only know as food. We've been brainwashed all of our life to believe that this is just how it is, but we are a society and a country that was founded on slavery, and I believe the next evolution is to leave animals off our plate and to recognize the modern-day slavery with animals that we consider lesser.
Do you have any concern for people who might not be able to do that? I mean, you're laying out a pretty radical path for most of us.
It's radical to you, but I consider myself radically compassionate. And there are many dietitians out there that, no matter what your doctor, who was also raised to believe that you need meat and dairy, there are just as many doctors out there that can tell you how you can thrive on a plant-based, compassionate
diet.
What
I'm saying is that many people can, but I guess what I'm hearing from you is you're leaving out the people who might not be able to, or who might also be compassionate but have a different point of view from you. I guess for me, I respect the work that you're doing and what you're trying to do, but when you try to
I'm not imposing my views on you.
Okay.
This is my opinion, and I'm on here because of the book.
Right.
And so I just don't believe there's any nutritional need to eat animals. And there are many, many studies out there that prove that. And I think a lot of people use the health excuse, because I hear that a lot.
But again, you're calling it an excuse. And so why don't we move on to another piece of your story, which is your own story. You were born in Louisville, and when you were a little girl, you were diagnosed with cancer. Can you talk about that experience? And also, you mentioned your cat, who was somebody who was very important to you then.
Right. And I wouldn't eat her. So that's kind of, again, where it began.
Although she would eat meat, probably.
Cats are true carnivores where we're not. And there's lots of evidence that points to that, from our teeth to our intestinal tract to everything with how we chew. But yes, you know, I mean, it was a different world for me. I was largely unaware of the things I know now that has made me more of a conscious and compassionate person towards all animals. I guess enduring cancer, 2.5 years of chemo, losing my hair, feeling alienated and isolated, being made fun of, made me particularly sensitive to suffering. And what's happening right now to 10 billion land animals alone that are slaughtered every year in this country is particularly disturbing to me. It is genocide, and we keep these animals in concentration camps. And, you know, it's an awareness that not only myself, but many people are having. And my hope is that, you know, within the next 100, maybe 200 years, we look upon the eating of living beings with the same disdain and disgust that we look upon slavery and the lack of rights for women, the inequality of women, the lack of child labor laws. That's all happened in the last 200 years. I'm just hoping that we can evolve into a more compassionate, conscious, sustainable, and healthy society. Because even if you don't care about animals, the health benefits, the environmental benefits, the fact that we could greatly increase world hunger, since a third of the global grain harvest in this world goes to feed those animals we call livestock, where 60 million people die of starvation-related diseases every year.
I guess a question that I would have is there a way towards that people might be able to embrace that that would allow a gradual movement towards that? Or does everything have to stop and we have to change everything?
That's asking a lot of people. You know, there's great campaigns such as Meatless Mondays, where you have a day which allows you to sort of open your mind and palate to different foods. Believe me, I'm a total foodie, but I can eat Thai and Indian and pizza. Even Two Boots here in town has a fabulous vegan pizza. Better products are coming out on the market. It's not all about eating vegetable and grain-based meats. You know, quinoa is a complete protein. There's a lot of myths about, you know, how much protein we need. What is the disease in this country that is caused by protein deficiency?
So you now have a farm, and at that farm you take in animals that you found in various places. Can you talk about Albie to end?
Yes, and there are many animal stories in the book. It's not all buzzkill. It's full of humor and insight and warm stories about the animals, and of course the charitable work that we do at the sanctuary. You know, all of it covered in the book. But Albie was a little goat that was found right here in the city. He was found in Prospect Park. He had escaped from one of the livestock markets here in town. Believe it or not, there's over 100 what's known as live kill markets that cater to a variety of cultures. And he had escaped and had been hogtied with wire at some point. He ended up losing his leg from a terrible bone infection. And the fact that I have an artificial leg, you know, I spoke to my prosthetist and had an artificial leg for him as well.
And there's a wonderful picture on the back of your book of the two of you.
Yes.
I have been speaking with Jenny Brown. Her book is called The Lucky Ones, My Passionate Fight for Farm Animals. And it's published by Avery. Jenny Brown will be speaking and signing books at Mushu's tonight at 7 p.m. It's at 78 Orchard Street.
Thank you.
Thank you.